If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, I'd ask you to get turned over to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be spending our time here this morning looking at some passages there. Over the past few weeks, Maddie and I have been spending a lot of time in the garage together. We've been planting seedlings and hoping to get a flower garden going this year. As we've done that, things have been growing, and hopefully we can get those in the ground here pretty soon. But we've noticed that there have also been some plants that are not doing so well. The seedlings are not thriving and they're not as healthy as some of the other ones are. And so you start looking at things that you can give to your plants to help grow them and make them stronger so that they can be beneficial for us as we get into the coming weeks and months. Obviously plants need light, they need water and things like that, the obvious things. But as I was looking at some things that we can do to help strengthen our plants, I came across one that kind of struck me that I want us to look at and make some spiritual application to as well. And what this individual said, and I'd have heard this before but I forgot about it, but they said when you've got seedlings starting, get a little oscillating fan and turn that on to blow against your seedlings. And what that does is it tells the plant, hey, I'm being worked at the bottom, and it increases the strength of the stem of the plant. And it makes, when that stem gets stronger from the foundation, it makes it an overall stronger plant. And what went through my mind is, you know what, we need that as Christians. We need to understand that we need to face some of that resistance in order to make us stronger, to make us more healthy as Christians as well. We've got some really great things going on in our congregation. And if you live anywhere close, I'd encourage you to begin worshiping with us and so forth. We're working on buying some new land and building a new building, a bigger building that we can all fit in very comfortably. One that is going to be ours, not rented. We've got new members here. We've got some great attitudes, some great things happening. The COVID stuff seems to be winding down some. Hopefully we'll all be able to worship, not through Zoom and things like that, but all under the same building soon. Great things are happening. And because of that, I wanted to take this as the opportunity to stop and say, you know, we're going right now. But let's take this time to also step back and say, you know what, we can still strengthen ourselves. Let's not get complacent in our momentum and not remember that we need to continue to build on ourselves and strengthen ourselves, make ourselves as more healthy as Christians, in order to make our congregation healthier as well and stronger in the days and years and weeks and however long the Lord blesses us to come. And so in order to look at some of those things, I wanted us to look at the parable of the talents here in Matthew chapter 25. And if you will, read with me, in beginning of verse 14, I'm in the New American Standard, but whatever version you have, verse 14 should say something similar to this. For it was just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on a journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. Verse 17 says, in the same manner the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant, or slave, you were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he who has, he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave out into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I would say this is a likely familiar story to most of us here. Maybe not all of us, though. And I know that we studied this a few quarters ago in a Bible class, but there's still some things that we can look at through this story and make some applications specifically to the point that we're trying to make this morning. As you look in this this story, we see him referring to the use or the misuse of things called talents. Definition of talent is to bear a balance of supporting weights, a certain weight, and thence a coin, or rather some of money, or a talent. Obviously, there's some monetary application to be made from this, and they would understood exactly what he was talking about when he's talking about talents. When we read this, we usually think about it in a talent, not in a monetary way, but a talent as far as an ability or a responsibility, a stewardship, if you will, or a blessing, a gift, whatever, however you want to view it, that's you can not be too far off from the application here. I do want us to notice, though, that nowhere throughout this text does it say anything about putting any kind of limit on the amount of gain that they could have made from the talents that they were given. Yes, verse 15 says that they were given these talents based on their ability, but it doesn't say anything about this is the limit to what you can gain with this. Obviously, we see the five gaining five more, two gaining two more, and the one wicked servant did not do anything with his except bury that in a hole. But it does not say, yep, you have to stop at five. If you reach five more of them, then you got to be done. There's no limits that are placed on that. But there was an expectation for them to grow the thing that they had been blessed with. Again, the only limit that we really see is the amount of effort that they were willing to put into doing some things. So with that in mind, I want us to look at what the good and faithful servants did, and then what the lazy and wicked servant did, and how their master responded to those things this morning. And then we'll make some application to that for ourselves. If you look at, beginning here, looking at the good and faithful servants and what they were doing, we see in verse 16 and 17 exactly what they were doing. The first word we see there is immediately. Immediately, the one who had received the five talents went and traded with them and gained five more talents. And in the same manner, immediately, with the same enthusiasm, the one who had received the two talents gained two more. So that means that he went and he traded with them, he gained with them just like the five talent man did. They were given something, and they turned around and they were active with it. They got busy doing this, and it shows something about the work ethic that these people had. They didn't just sit there and say, well, I have what is mine, and I'll just sit here on it. I'll know where it is whenever I need it. No, they immediately got busy trading and building on the things that they were blessed with. And we see the results of that based on their work ethic, their attitude. They increased, they gained more new talents in addition to that. Verse 21, the results of their attitude and their work ethic. It says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then verse 22 and following, he says the exact same thing, nearly verbatim, to the one who had the two talents. You were faithful. You were good. I can trust you with the things that I gave you, and so therefore I'm going to give you a whole lot more things. You brought joy to your master, and I want you to come to me. That's what was said for these people who got out and they worked and they increased. They didn't just sit on what they had. They went and did more with it. And then they received more. They pleased their master. They served their master. They were beneficial to their master because they did something with it. And they increased. They weren't just content with what they had. And so therefore, you're faithful. You're good. I can trust you. Come to me. That's what their master said to them. But that's not what we see from the wicked servant, the lazy servant. In verse 18, we also see what is said about him. But he who received the one talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money, period. You see, the other two faithful servants, they did this. Immediately they got up. They traded. They grew. They gained. All this, it's a long paragraph. And then for him, he just took it and he went and buried it in a hole. That's it. I would even liken that to, He showed up on Sunday. He showed up to go to worship service. But that's all he did. Okay? It was good. He didn't go squander it off and lose the money. At least he didn't take anything away from his master. But it was not faithful. It wasn't what he should have been doing with that. Again, he didn't get busy trying to gain and benefit his master in this. Everything that we see him doing was a selfish thing. I was afraid, as we're going to look about here in a minute. I was afraid of what was going to happen, so I went and I hid it. That doesn't count. That doesn't work. Everything he did was about his comfort level. Well, this is the ability that I have, and so I'm just going to stay right where I am. And that was not acceptable to him. You know, when your master gives you something and they trust you with this gift and you do nothing with it, that's a slap in the face to the master is what it is. You could have done this for me. You could have served me. What is a servant? They're not there to serve themselves. They're there to serve someone else. Again, I hope we can see the spiritual application of that. We're not here to serve ourselves. We're here to serve our master. But are we sitting on the abilities, the talents, the responsibilities, the whatever that the Lord has given to us? Again, he didn't do anything. And we can see because of his fear, because of his poor work ethic, of his selfish attitude, in verse 24, we see the results that his master gave to him. The one who had received the one talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I had not gathered, scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away what the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Verse 30, he also adds to that, "Throw the worthless slave into outer darkness, in the place where will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Again, because he did not use the things that were given to him, he did not take those talents, those abilities, or whatever you want to call them, he didn't increase in those things. What does his master say to him? He didn't say, "You're good. You're faithful. I trust you. I want you to come be with me." No, he said, "No, you're wicked. You're lazy. I can't trust you with the things that I gave you, and I'm going to take those away from you. And you know what? You brought me no joy. You're not beneficial to me at all. Take them away. I don't want you in front of me anymore." You know, there's been times when I've been mad at my kids, and that's exactly pretty much what I said to them. "Get out of my sight. I don't want to see you right now because of the things that you've done." And of course, that's whenever it's a direct disobedience and just testing you. And I think most parents can relate to that in some way or another. Get out of my sight. And that's kind of what I see here. You're wicked. You're lazy. I don't trust you. Get away. Take him away and torture him. This is basically what the master said there. Punish him because of the things that he did or did not do is the result. Those are the words that no slave would ever want to hear from their master. But this slave right here, this wicked and lazy and worthless slave, he got a quick wake-up call. Whoops, guess I shouldn't have done that. But you know what that tells me? Again, let's get to the application. That's the most important of all this. What is our master going to say to us? What are we doing with the talents, the abilities, the blessings that he gives to us? We've been blessed just the same and even more, maybe. I wouldn't even say maybe. I would say we are blessed even more. We're such a blessed country. But again, looking at our, at this last week, at this last month, this last year even, is God pleased with the way that you used his abilities? Is God pleased with the way that you've grown your abilities in the last week, in the last month, the last year? Or have you done little to nothing with his abilities as far as trying to grow those and increase those things? Is he pleased with you based on the things that you've done? Have you hidden yours in the ground as well and say, "Well, I know where they are. If I ever have to, I'll pull out that ability. Maybe I'll teach that class if I have to. If I've got to preach, then I guess I'll do that. If no one else signs up and it's the last hour, I guess I'll do that." By the way, Cliff has signed up to preach. Thank you, Cliff, for doing that whenever we're gone. Haven't said that to anybody, but he has agreed to do that, so I appreciate that. You know, it's and it doesn't have to be things inside of this building or in this worship service. There are things that men can do in this worship and outside of this worship. There are things that women can do with teaching Bible classes and things to help us serve today. Lord's Supper preparation, cleaning the building. We can all do things with talking to those outside. That's work. Those are things that we can increase in. And we should be increasing in. Not just saying, well, this is what's comfortable for me, and I'm going to stick with this. That's what the wicked and lazy, worthless servant did. He buried it in the ground and said, well, I've got it whenever I need it. If I ever have to pull it out and give it back to my master, I will. But he didn't do anything to grow it and expand it and gain more talents or abilities. He didn't even try. And that's why he's considered to be lazy and wicked. He made his excuses, but they weren't acceptable either. You know, we've got to remember that if we aren't actively trying to grow our talents and our abilities, we should never, ever, ever expect to see any increase in either our quality or quantity of our service. Don't expect it to somehow show up and, wow, I've got this amazing ability nowadays that I didn't realize I had. Well, maybe you didn't realize you had it either, but don't expect it to be there if you didn't work for it. Like I said on Wednesday night, I can go stand on the bathroom scale every single day of my life. And I can sit there and say, hey, am I going to be healthier today? Did I lose any weight today? Don't expect it to change unless you put in the work when you're not standing on the scale. That's just foolishness to try to do that. But like I said Wednesday, I tried. I got on that scale. And I just hoped that maybe I'd lost some weight. Maybe I'm healthier today. You know, I'm one of those guys that when I go to the doctor's office, I'm like, don't wear the steel-toed boots today. I'm going to put some shorts on today so I can be as light as possible. I'm going to suck in some air and hopefully that it's going to work. It's foolishness. It's me fooling myself and trying to deceive them as well. But we do that. Don't ever expect your spiritual knowledge to grow if you're not going to pick up God's Word and read it and study it. Don't expect your abilities to increase in serving God if you're not going to try to increase them. You aren't going to work on those things. You want to learn how to sing better? You want to learn how to lead singing? Practice it. Ask for help to do that. You want to lead a public prayer or a better private prayer? Work on it. Do it at home. Write it out. People used to look down on people for some reason. That, well, they've got their prayer written out there. Honestly, I'd prefer that because you actually have things organized and you're going to be able to say a prayer for all of us that is well thought out. It's good to do that. And you know what? That's what some people view that as a weakness. Well, I can't do that. That's a strength to me because it shows you put some time into it and some thought into it. Do what it takes to serve. You want to learn how to teach a Bible class? Go sit in on the Bible class. Sit in this Bible class and do the ask questions. Well, how do you prepare for that kind of thing? We can do it, but it takes effort to grow that. But I'm afraid what happens the most time is the same exact excuse that this worthless, wicked slave gave. I was afraid. And we let that keep us from growing our strengths and our abilities. And that's not acceptable either. As we see in verse 25, you remember what the wicked, lazy, worthless servant said to his master? He said, well, look, what you have is yours. I'll give it back to you. But we also see that that was not acceptable either. We can't just say, well, I've kept up with it. I didn't squander it off. Well, you did squander it off because you didn't grow in it, really, is what it comes down to. We're responsible not to just maintain the things that we have, but to also grow more things that we have. As he said there, you know, even if you had deposited it into the bank, at least it would have had some kind of growth. It would have got some kind of interest out of it if you had at least done something with it. But you immediately went and buried it in the ground. It was not acceptable. Like I just said a while ago, fear is also not acceptable as an excuse. Verse 25, the servant told his master, I was afraid and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But notice what his master said in verse 26. He said, you wicked, lazy slave. You say you're afraid, but really it comes down to you being wicked and lazy. You weren't willing to put yourself out of that comfort zone and do what was necessary to gain, to better yourself, to strengthen yourself. You're wicked and you're lazy. That's what it comes down to. Again, if fear was not acceptable to the master of that one talent man, and fear is not acceptable to our master either, our Lord. And again, like I said, there's so many different ways that we can increase in that. It doesn't have to be in the actual worship. We can use our talents in some way or another. But what I will say about that is, if I'm not doing more in my service, shame on me. But I'm going to turn that back on you as well. If you're not doing more with your service to God, shame on you. That's our responsibility to grow with it. We've been blessed. Do something with it. Don't just sit on there and do nothing. Again, it doesn't matter what it is. Again, we need to be giving our full service in all capacities that we possibly can. We aren't a tiny congregation. I've worshipped at much smaller congregations than this. But at the same time, we're also not a 200-member congregation. Hopefully, we'll get there. I hope that the work that we're all doing and getting out there and letting people see God's Word and letting the gospel do the work is going to get us to the point where we are a larger congregation. But don't just settle on physical growth. Let's work on the spiritual growth as well. We all have work that we can do. If we got to be 200 people, I still need to preach this sermon. Because we shouldn't sit there and say, well, they're a strong plant, and they're a strong plant. I don't need to bend my stem. I don't need to increase myself. We all need to be increasing ourselves. Strengthen ourselves, because we're not trying to serve ourselves. We're trying to serve our master. That's the whole point that he's saying there. And so many times I talk about encouraging one another. And I'm going to discourage you right now. I want to discourage you from being a one-trick pony. I'm going to discourage you from settling on what you've already got. You know what? You may try to bend that stem and increase in some other talents and reach out there, and you may realize, you know what? I'm really only good at one talent. If that's the case, then knock it out of the park. Be the best at that one talent that you can be. Shine in that talent. But I think what we'll all find is, if we reach out a little bit, we'll find that we do have other abilities, other talents that maybe we're not comfortable with right now, or maybe we don't even recognize we have yet. But if we'll bend that stem a little bit, we will be stronger Christians, and our congregation can be stronger as well. I want to tell you about a story about a man that we used to know by the name of Leo. And that's the way he spelled his name, Leo. His dad was Lee, so he had to pick up the O. Leo was a guy who had mental disabilities. He was a little slow. Leo was the kind of person, though, that whenever he led a prayer, on more than one occasion, he couldn't remember how to get out of the prayer. He would cycle around and cycle around. He would say the same thing 3 and 4 times sometimes. And he could just tell he couldn't remember, in Jesus' name, amen. It just wasn't in there. And sometimes he just had to stop. And we went on with the service. We understood what was going on with him. He was the kind of person who couldn't always make complete thoughts. He would start talking to you and he would just, his tongue would just freeze up. He just couldn't say anything else. He was the definition of make a joyful noise to the Lord. But you know what? There's not a single thing that Leo was not willing to do. He did invitations. He led singing. He led prayers. He served on the Lord's table. He begged to preach. I don't think he ever got to do that. In all of his disabilities that he had, we didn't have to go to him and say, hey, Leo, do you think that you could lead a prayer today? Leo would come to us and he would beg, how can I serve today? In his mental disability, that's what he was wanting to do. But what do we find sometimes in among ourselves? Being fully able, having no health problems that would prohibit us from doing those things, we try to hide that talent and say, well, if they have to have me, I guess I'll do that. I guess I'll teach a Bible class if I have to do it, or to preach if I have to do that, or if I've got to clean the building this month, I guess I'll do that. He didn't wait for us to ask him. He begged to do it ourselves, for himself. You know, a few years ago, Leo passed away. Leo can't serve like he loved to. What I would suggest to us is let's serve like Leo. Let's not wait for someone to beg us to serve, to increase our abilities. Let's be the ones who are asking to do that. Let's recognize that serving God is an amazing blessing. I get to lead a prayer. I get to preach to you today. I'm blessed to be able to be in this situation to serve God. Yes, I'm talking to you. I'm serving God this morning. And everybody who's serving in some capacity is serving God. And we'll talk about that here in just a second. Let's get to it right now. I'll just skip that little section up there. Any capacity that we can serve is an act of service to God. And we can't forget that. If you look at the rest of chapter 25, we see, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story here. And we're not going to read about the whole thing that he says here, but I want to hit a couple key verses here. But here we find Jesus is separating the goats and the sheep. And he's blessing those who have been righteous and faithful, and he is offering curses to those who are not faithful in the things that they did here on earth. But in verse 40, he says, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." We know these verses, most of us at least. He's talking about, you did see me do this, you saw someone in this situation, you saw them in this situation, and guess what? You got busy doing those things. You served them, and in doing that, you served me. And the result of that, we can see back in verse 34. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's the blessing that we should be striving for. Now, as you go to verse 45, we see the other side of that, though. He answered them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." That's the same thing as back in our story of, "You wicked, lazy slave. You should have done this, you could have done this, and you didn't do it." And the curse that's given to him in verse 44, he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me," the same thing that we read there in the parable, "accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." Again, let me ask you, based on the things that you are doing with your abilities, the way that you're using them and the way that you're growing them or not, are you helping to build this congregation and help it to grow and thrive or to die? It's not going to happen overnight. We can all sit here and do little of nothing for quite some time. I've seen congregations do that for years until they finally died 20 years later. I've seen it happen. I've seen too many congregations close because they got complacent at where they're at. They didn't bend their stem. They didn't strengthen themselves, and the church finally withered up like that untended seedling and died. Like I said at the beginning of the lesson, we've got some great things going on here. And that's the reason I picked to do this sermon right now. You can call it out of due season, if you will, or whatever. We got some great things happening. This is not meant to be some kind of a bummer sermon. It's to be an encouraging light of fire under us, and let's keep the momentum going. Great things happening here. I'm encouraged about it. I'm excited about the way that the direction that we're going. Some good things happening here, but let's not just say, "Hi, we've made it." Let's keep working. Let's keep growing. Every day is another day to serve God, but also by helping and serving one another. Bend that stem a little bit. Strengthen yourself and be a stronger Christian because of it. Help us to be a stronger congregation because of it. Go and open up your songbooks, number 294. Jesus is calling. I hope these things have been encouraging to you this morning, something for us to think about. We can always do better. We may be doing great things. Do even greater things. Keep working on things, working for your master. As always, the Lord's invitation is open to anyone who is subject to that. Christ did a great thing for us, as we're going to talk about here in the Lord's Supper in just a minute. He loved us enough to give His life for us, to suffer for us, to die for us, to suffer through greater pain than any of us will ever know, likely. But He did that because we needed Him to do that, because He loved us so much. We needed that forgiveness, and we needed that ability to have our sins forgiven so we can go to heaven and be with Him. So He can say to us, "You know what? You're faithful. You're a good servant. I trust you with these things, and I want you to come to me," just as we read in the parable this morning. Maybe it is this morning that you're not a child of God, you've not been baptized, and you still have sins in your life that need to be taken care of. If that's the case for you, now is the best time to change your life, to become a child of God, to take advantage of that blood that was shed for us on the cross. And many this morning are talking about Christ is risen. And they're taking this one day to focus on those things. We get to do that every first day of the week in remembering His body and His blood. But if we're not going to be obedient to Him, we're not taking advantage of that. If you've not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you are still in your sins. You need that blood and you need that obedience so that you can be one of His children. But maybe it is you are a child of God already this morning. You realize, I've not been that servant that I need to be. I need to be that good and faithful servant. But maybe I'm a little more like that lazy and wicked and worthless servant. And I need to change that back. Maybe you need prayers of encouragement to help you along that way. Whatever it is, if you owe some duty to God this morning, I hope that you'll take care of it right now. Not put it off until some later time, because it may not come. But if we can help you in some way this morning, I hope that you'll come as we stand and sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home.